Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you guys had a beautiful New Year's celebration. And it's going to be a beautiful year. We're going to have 2020 vision in 2020. Thank you for everyone who texted us and messaged us for our New Year's Day greetings. Really appreciate it. Last night, one of my sons and his wife and another son came over, and we had Ukrainian New Year's. We had green olive cheese puttaha and kapusta soup. You don't know what that is, but that's what we had. Drinking decaffeinated coffee today. So I wanted to ask you guys if you would post maybe what your New Year's resolution is, or one of your New Year's resolution is, while we're talking today. We're reading from Article 3 on Sacred Scripture. We're going to talk about what Sacred Scripture is. And in paragraph 101, Christ, the unique word of Sacred Scripture. In order to reveal himself to men in the condescension of his goodness, God speaks to them in human words. This is from De Verbum. I think every Catholic should have a copy of that. You can get it on Amazon. I should probably put it on my website. In order to reveal himself to men in the condescension of his goodness. So God's saying, you know, I'm kind of smarter than you and bigger than you, but I still want to humble myself and communicate with you. God speaks to them in human words. Isn't it amazing that humans have a language? That we can put our thoughts into word symbols, and we can write them and we can speak them. You know, Jesus is called the Logos, the Rhema, the Word of God, the capital W. Before he was called Jesus, he was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He was the Word of God. Think about how powerful, powerful, powerful words are. My dad taught us when we were in high school. He began to teach us about our use of words, that we couldn't say in our home, we couldn't say something negative or self-pity or gossipy or complaining. He would say that's a negative affirmation. And we got really good at it. We could actually have a serious conversation about anything that wasn't quite right that we needed to talk about, but no self-pity, no negative communication. And it really, I think, had a dramatic effect, you know, on our family. My dad was a professional speaker, and he quoted from Scripture, as you sow, shall you reap. If you meditate on negative things, you're going to reap a harvest. When you plant a seed, it doesn't just come back with one seed. It'll come back 10, 30, 100 fold. So watching your words is very important. There's a Scripture verse that says, bring all thoughts into captivity. So watch out for your inner dialogue, most especially. Because it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So words are very, very important. And so interesting how when man became prideful and began to build a tower so high, thinking he could be like God, God frustrated them by giving them different languages. And I just remember how powerful it was when you think about in the book of Acts, second chapter of Acts, when the Lord brought together a new sort of, I guess not a new form of human being, but when he gave us a rebirth, people spoke in new languages. They spoke in the languages of the people that were there visiting Jerusalem. But Paul said that if I speak of the words of men or of angels, and so for those who pray in tongues, and I think all of us should ask the Lord to give us that gift, it can be the language of a human language, or it can be the language of heaven. I know when I first was to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1973. My father was very curious about what was happening to his family because we were all coming to this powerful conversion to the Lord. And I came home that night. He said, well, let me hear, I came by to visit that next day. He said, let me hear your language. And it sounded to him, he's Ukrainian, it sounded like a Ukrainian dialect almost. He understood two of the words God and he understood the words love. But it was kind of not the, it was kind of a rough sounding language that the Lord gave me. And when I received the baptism of the Spirit, I received a real full language. It was just really obvious it was a language. But then 3 days later, he was prayed over to receive the baptism of the Spirit and by some of the leaders of the prayer group there. And as I was laying hands on my father and praying with him, my language that I was given 3 days earlier changed to the one I pray in now. Koranda da Basili Aramoshonda da Bokiki Aranda da Basata da Makiri Aranda Solo no Moshoto no Bokiri Aranda da Basanda Sikela namo koto no Moshinde Dabaga Site Toto Naranda Sili Aramoshoto no Bokite. So that language is a language, but it really doesn't sound like any language on earth. I believe it's a heavenly language. But the language is given to us so that we can be of one heart, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit when we pray. Usually when we pray in tongues, we certainly don't know word for word what we're saying, but in our heart we can sense quite often what we're praying for. Quite usually it starts off with praise, just prayer and then praise. But there are times when I pray in tongues that it becomes an inner groaning, and I know I'm doing deep intercession. But it's very beautiful that it's the words. Words are so powerful that the first gift God gave us, the charism that God gave us in the second chapter of Acts, was the gift of tongues. It's beautiful. So ask the Lord to release that gift in you. And certainly you can have friends who have that gift to ask the Lord to baptize you in the Spirit in that special way with that special charism. Because once the release of the gift of tongues happens in you, the other charismatic gifts are more easily flow. The gifts of discernment, of vision, of prophecy, of praying for healings and things like that flow out of the gift of tongues. When someone asks me to pray for them, I don't really know how to pray sometimes or usually. So I start off by praying in the Spirit, by praying in my heavenly language. And then it becomes more clear to me what I need to pray for this person. I'll have a real sense about the direction my prayer should take, and then I can pray in English. So the word is very important. In order to reveal himself to men in the condescension of his goodness, God speaks to them in human words. Indeed, Pat, when you pray in tongues, you really, it carries you into a place where you really are more able to listen to God, I guess is the way I'm saying. Because Paul said, those who pray in tongues edify themselves. It builds up your inner spiritual man. You're releasing your spirit from the soulish nature of your mind having to put things into words, and let you pray with a freedom, and it allows you to seek God's face. It's a beautiful gift. Indeed, the words of God expressed in the words of men are in every way like a human language. So now we're speaking, beginning to direct our attention towards Scripture. Just as the Word, that's a capital W referring to Jesus, of the eternal Father, when he took on himself the flesh of human weakness, became like men. Through all the words of sacred Scripture, that's small W, God speaks only one single word. His one utterance in whom he expresses himself completely. So what does God the Father say? What is his one word? Tell me, what is his one word that God speaks? The one word that God speaks is his son, Jesus. That, what we just read, we're referring to Hebrews 1. And I'll read it again. Through all the words of Scripture, God speaks only one single word, capital W. his one utterance in whom he expresses himself completely. That's Dei Verbum. And now here's from Hebrews 1 through 3. You recall that one and the same word, capital W, of God extends throughout Scripture. That it is the one and same utterance that resounds in the mouths of all the sacred writers. Since he who was in the beginning God with God has no need of separate syllables, for he is not subject to time. That's St. Augustine. God has no use of syllables, even the use of words implies a linear progression, right? Through time. One, two, three, I've spoken through 3 seconds of time. But because God lives in all eternity, he speaks one word. God lives in the eternal now. He doesn't need syllables, he speaks one word. St. Augustine's so awesome. If you haven't read him, it's good to pick up his book, The Confessions, but you can listen to it on audiobooks too, so you can enjoy it while you're driving. For this reason, the church has always venerated the scriptures as she venerates the Lord's body. So in Mass, we have the liturgy of the word and liturgy of the Eucharist, right? She never ceases to present to the faithful the bread of life. And the word of God is called the bread of life, and so is the Eucharist. Taken from the one table of God's word and Christ's body. In sacred scripture, the church constantly finds herself nourishment and her strength, for she welcomes it not as human word, but as what it really is, the word of God. That's Dei Verbum again. Really great book to read. In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children and talks with them. Dei Verbum again. So when you, hey Pat, good to see you. Hey Tony. So when you see God the Father coming and speaking to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you know, God is seeking us out. He wants to have a conversation. And Scripture is really a two-way dialogue. Because it is a living book, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the joints and the marrow, the spirit and the soul, and able to seek out the secret thoughts and intentions of our heart. For it is with Him that we have to do. So when you pick up the Bible, be careful. It's no different than if you were to pick up a really sharp sword. You'd be really careful how you handle it. And remember, this is a surgical knife. The Bible says the wounds of a friend heal. This knife will pierce your heart. It will circumcise your heart. It'll cut away whatever's holding you back. So when you read Scripture, it's not to be dissected. It's the other way around. It's going to dissect you. So approach Scripture with humility. Think of it as God's love letter to you. And think about it as God having a dialogue with you. Because as you read it, certain scriptures will just jump out at you. And you'll know God speaking to you. I'll let you enjoy the beautiful New Year's sunrise. Thank you everyone for your prayers, especially your generosity this last year to our ministry. Episode 17 is done. So for those of you who are Patreon donors, you'll be getting a copy of it real soon. We want to do the credits first. The credits are standard for all the episodes of each season. So we want to do the credits because that's episode 17 is the first episode of the new season, season 3 of Long Ride Home. So that should be coming out to you guys real soon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Aloha. Ha'ole makahikiho. Happy New Year. God bless you guys. Don't forget to press the share button. It helps us evangelize. And even if you're watching this after we recorded it, please leave your comments.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Woznick radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.